Are you guys glad to be in God's house today?
Yes.
Are you glad to be in God's house today?
Amen.
Amen. It's good that you're here. I want to welcome our friends who are visiting us. Good to see you guys. God bless you. Our sister right there in the, I guess, the family. She's almost virtually a home girl. She's from New Jersey, so it's good to have some Northeastern folks here. Some of you Southerners. We get balanced now, and some of, you know, we get the balance of reality with the northern folks and the southern folks. It's a balance, you know. So I just want to bless some of you here today. If you have your Bibles, I want to share something with you that I've been being challenged with for this week, challenged with for some time. The fact is that in church, we can have quite a lot of ministry that's focused on certain things. Incidentally, how many of you were blessed by Reverend Phyllis Jahorn last weekend? A powerful word of God, powerful sister. We're going to be seeing more frequent and more frequency. But I've been being challenged that we can focus on quite a lot of different things concerning ministry. And we can focus on our development. We can focus on our ministry. We can focus on our call. And yet the most important aspect of the gospel we hear little of, and that aspect is the return of Jesus Christ. And when I look at the Old Testament, the New Testament saints, the early church, everything and how they lived their lives was centered around the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, their vision for the church was centered on his return. How they function and how they live was all centered on the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And the challenge for me is if they felt they were living in the last days, how much more are we living in the last of those last days? And that everything now that we do and how we live and what we say should be centered around his soon return. It's a challenge to me because even, you know, I was saying a couple of weeks ago, sometimes as ministers, we like to give or present an image that's not quite real. An image that we don't struggle, an image that we got it all together, and that's not quite true. Because the fact of the matter is, in my own self, I say, God, help me to be ready when you return. And I think the challenge for us is not to think we've got it together. And the other aspect of that is the challenge of the Word of God, knowing that he's coming, that's not something sometimes we like to hear. Because we want to think it's way out there, it's not going to happen anytime soon. But I want to tell you something, that God wants us to get to the place, and we heard it in the songs, where we want it to happen as soon as possible. The Apostle Paul said, even so, I believe it was in the revelation of Jesus Christ when the angel to the church said, even so, come quickly, Lord. There's got to be something in us that wants him more than anything else in this world. There's got to be something crying out from the depths of our being. God, I don't care what you take. I don't care what you do. I just want to see you. And that's the biggest thing in my heart. I don't need to preach another sermon. I don't need to preach at another conference. But if I can see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I will be fulfilled. And see, the challenges for us is, what's most important to us now? What are we hungry for? What are we looking for? And I can tell you, I'm looking for him. I just want him. I don't care about anything else. I've come to that point. You already know how old I am. For some of you who are visiting, I'm 61 years old. I lived a lot of life. But I can tell you, I want Jesus more than ever now. I just want him. I want to see him. Everybody asks the question, I don't know if I'm going to get to what I need to share, but I'm just going to unveil, I'll let my heart open up to you right now. You know, everybody, you know, they talk about when they get to heaven, what they're going to say and who they're going to talk to. I'm going to walk to Jesus and I'm going to say to him, how could you do it for me? What did you see that he's going to tell me? And I know what his response would be. It's not what I saw in you. It's what I saw I could do for you. I can raise you up from where you are and put you in a place of honor without you doing anything. But because of my love for you, oh, glory. And so I want to share something. If you have your Bibles, Matthew 25. It will be very challenging, but by the grace of God, when we get through this, I believe God's got a lot of encouragement for us this morning. Matthew chapter 25. I want to talk to you about, will you be ready? Or in parentheses, the virgin lockout. Matthew chapter 25. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, No, lest there should be not enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man shall return." That's a very sobering thought and a very challenging scripture. Because today in Christianity, what is preached to us is the stuff that makes us feel good. What is preached to us is the stuff that tells us what we're going to be and what we're going to become. But here in this text, it is a challenge of preparation that I have to get ready, and I am going to meet him, and I can't meet him any way I want to. I have to prepare myself and be ready to see him be the intended person he wants me to be when I see him. And the text says that they were foolish and they were unwise people. And sometimes I want to tell you something, beloved, that it is the most foolish thing that we would pull out from the scriptures, only the scripture that makes us feel good. And leave the scripture that challenges us to be more than what we are right now. And the Bible makes it clear that if I only go with what tickles my ear, I will become that. But if I go with what challenges my heart, the Bible makes it clear he deals with our hearts, not with the superficial. He's dealing with our hearts. And if I go with the word that challenges my heart, I will become like him. How many of you know God's destined purpose for your life is for you to become like Jesus Christ? And the Bible says that Jesus had to learn obedience through the things which he suffered. Now, he didn't have it his way. He had it God. Oh, come on, somebody. We have to have it God's way. And so the challenge is not for me to take out of the scripture what makes me feel good. But I take what out of the scripture, which conforms me to the image of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's going to be good and sometimes it's not. There's some things you aren't going to like and there's some things you will. I don't like it when the Bible tells me I have to love my enemies. I don't like that. We don't like it in the natural, but he's not asking us whether we like it. He's commanding us to do it. And often we always take what makes us feel good. Beloved, it's not what makes us feel good that makes us good. It's what, we heard it this morning, we go to the cross and we die to ourselves. We die to what we want and what we prefer, and we become what he desires us to become. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And so that's the challenge. I was listening to a song, a very famous song by a group called Commission. One of my favorite songs, and it's called Will You Be Ready When Jesus Comes. And the word song goes something like this. Can you see the signs? I almost want to sing it. Very hard not to sing this. Can't you see the signs of the time? Don't you know that the time is short? And soon the Lord, he will return. Will you be punished or get your reward? There'll be no more time to get it right. When the Lord, when he cracks the sky. So just keep your hand in his hand and be ready when Jesus comes. And that's what we have to do. We've got to be ready. The song is challenging me to get it right with God. The song challenges me to be ready for his return. The song says to me, and these words right here, it says, and make Jesus first in your life. Keep your lamps trimmed and burning bright. Let's all make a stand. Stand up for what is right. But most importantly, keep the love of Jesus always on your mind. And I'm going to tell you what makes you ready for the return of Jesus Christ. It's not how you do things, and it's not me trying to become something, but the passion of wanting to see him. If you want to see him, you'll do everything that pleases him. If you want to see him, you'll lay everything down that separates you and him. If you want to see him, beloved, you'll get yourself ready to see him. You know, my daughter is getting ready for a wedding. In the 15th of September, in this place, my oldest daughter is going to get married. 38 years old, and I'm so looking forward to it. I'm so desirous of seeing her because we've been through some trouble. She's been through some trouble. But after all the trouble, she's going to walk down the aisle, and she's going to belong to somebody who's been waiting for her all of his life. And that's what Jesus is about for you and me. Listen, beloved, he is waiting. He's getting ready to return to get us. And what am I going to do during the time he's preparing to meet me? Am I going to sit down? And am I not going to be concerned? Am I just going to rest? No, I'm going to get ready for him. He's coming. He's coming back for us. And he wants us to be ready. I remember when Lisa and I were getting married. This year, we celebrate in December, we celebrate 40 years. Married 40 years. That woman right there. 40 years. And I remember on the wedding day, I had a glimpse of her out of the corner. I was in the house and she was getting ready. Her sister and her mom were getting her ready. And I walked in the house and I was in the house for some reason. And out of the glimpse, I glimpsed out of my eye, and I didn't turn because I didn't want to look, and they were getting her ready. And she looked, listen, drastically different than she did the day before. And you see, there's got to be a change that's drastic in our lives. I can't keep looking the way I look today when he comes. I've got to look different. I've got to be different. I've got to think different. Something has to change, because I rest assured we should be making ourselves beautiful for him. Ephesians says that he's coming back for church without spot or without wrinkle or any such thing. A glorious church full of his glory. That's what he's coming back for. I want to help us today. I got a little bit of time. I got some time. Okay, praise God. 20 minutes. Oh, Lord, help me. Now, the church believed that they were in the last days, and their whole lives lived around. Every day, their lives were active around the fact that he's coming. Now, in Acts chapter 2, you don't have to turn, but let me read this to you. On the day of Pentecost, this is what happened. They were speaking in other tongues, and everybody was looking at them and thought they were crazy. But this is what the apostle said concerning that. These are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass, and in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Then shall be turned into darkness, and moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord. They lived under that understanding that it could be at any time he could show up on the scene. They were living and they functioned. Everything they did was under the idea that any moment Jesus could come. And I, beloved, if we really believe that, I suggest to you today that a lot of the things we do, a lot of our conversation, a lot of how we live would be completely different. If we really lived under that, beloved, in the Exodus, the Bible makes it clear that he told them, I want you to get everything ready. I want your loins girded up. In other words, I want your bags packed and I want you ready to go, because at any moment he's coming. At any moment. And see, the Bible also says it's the wicked heart that says the Lord will delay his coming. And see, when we think and want the Lord to delay his coming, it really shows us how much we really love him. Because people who really love him don't want him to delay. They want him to come. Now listen. In Matthew chapter 24. Let's read Matthew chapter 24 now. Verses 3-15. Please bear with me. I got a lot of scriptures, some scriptures to read, but I think it's important that we look at it so you don't think it's me talking. You don't think it's just me saying stuff. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3. Now, as he sat on Mount Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. And see, you do not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Can I say something? We see our present political situation. We see all of the wars. We see all of the crazy stuff that happens. What does the scripture say? I don't want you to worry about it, because it has to happen. And we get worried as believers, and we're saying this and saying that. And Jesus is saying, I don't want you to worry about that. I want you to focus on me. And we get caught up in stuff. And he said, don't worry about it. It has to happen. Are you there? Okay, let's keep reading. And for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended And many will be betray one another and will hate one another. Don't we see a lot of that? People betraying people. You know what betraying is? You know what it is when we betray. And beloved, that spirit is even in the church. When you know how people are betrayed, when I come to you and I say I love you and I'm with you, but yet I'm plotting to do something else behind your back. That's a betraying spirit. And I'm ashamed that that thing happens in church. But beloved, in church should be where and nothing like that ever should be happening. Because we are committed. If I betray Lisa, I have broken my covenant with her. I should be loving her with everything I have. She should be loving me with everything. I should be doing the same with everybody in this place. I should be loving you with everything I have. Not plotting something. That's betraying. Listen to the text. Listen to it. Can anybody tell me where I left off at? That's old people's disease. Verse what? Verse 12. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world to be a witness to the nations. And then the end will come. He said the love of many will grow cold. You know, one of the greatest signs that the love of people is growing cold is the way they treat you. Because love is not word, it is action. The way people treat you will tell you what they feel about you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And in the body of Christ, the Bible says that we are to be good to all men, especially those in Galatians, especially those who be of the household of faith. My treatment of you should be nothing but pure love. If I struggle with you, I need to talk to you and resolve, and then we have pure love. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God's going to help us today, but I just need us to understand that. Now, verse 15 says something. He says, therefore, when you see what? The abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place. Now, this is very important for us to understand, because a lot of times we're looking for a person, and it's not a person necessarily. It could be a person, but it's not necessarily a person. It's also the possibility of a spirit. Are you hearing me? Now, this is what a particular theologian says about this particular king at the time of Daniel, that Daniel was writing about. He says this: as in sometimes the case in Scripture, there's a dual or near and far fulfillment to Daniel's prophecy. There's little to no disagreement among theologians that there is a near fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy referenced in the text, and is referencing the reign of Antiochus the IV, a Syrian king who ruled Palestine from 175 to 165 BC, and he assumed the title. Listen, this is where I want you to see. He assumed the title Theos Epiphanes, which means God manifest. In other words, he was saying he was God manifested on earth. Now, I need you to understand that when a spirit like this enters a particular situation, now it's no longer about Jesus, but it becomes about the person. I know you've heard ministers stand up and say, and the way they're treated, they're almost treated like God. Everything is done for them, everything is given to them, and everything is about them. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And that spirit that's in the world will always make it about them. It's not about my ministry. It's not about me. It is about the will and purpose of God and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I fit in the light of his return? And here, listen to me. Listen. They say, listen, the rest of it says, that he got, that Antiochus, who gained his throne, he gained it through intrigue. In other words, the modern term for that would be networking. He gained it through networking. And that is something that happens in the world, in the business world, that they say to increase your business, to do what you're going to, you need to network. How many of you know I don't need to network because God already has a network? I don't need to make anything happen because God is going to make it happen. Somebody needs to say amen. And what we have in the body of Christ today is a group of people who are trying to network their way to success. And we don't network our way to success. We yield our members to the King and he leads us to the plan he has for us. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And that's what the challenge is this thing where it becomes about us. It becomes about my ministry. It's not about our ministry. The last day church, they weren't concerned about any of that. All they were worried about is Jesus is coming back. And they did what they did out of that vision. Can you hear what I'm saying? Did I do that all right, my dear? She told me, Vince, you need to slow down. And you need to just explain that part. Because it's important. Because what we do is, when all I'm talking about and all my focus is to be this greater speaker, or to be this better this, or to be this better that, I've missed it. Because it's not about what I do, it's about what he does through me. And that's what he wants. He wants to get us to that place where we're not trying to be like in the world. Everybody's snatching and grabbing and trying to be and trying to do. And God says, I just want you to love me and I'll make it happen for you. That's all he wants. Man, I had so much of that all my life. And beloved, I have been in platforms with Reinhard Bonnke. I have been in platforms with, what's the man's name, who led the church on the way in Van Nuys, South California. I've been in platforms with names. I have preached with people of great notoriety. But I don't want any of that. Because none of that means anything if I don't have his heart. If I'm not doing what I'm doing to please him, and I'm doing it because I want to be, I missed it altogether. I have taken on the spirit of that last day, which says, I'm God manifested. Listen. Listen to me. Luke chapter 12. Let's move on. Luke chapter 12. Verse 35, it tells us, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. It tells us about our lamps and our waist being girded and being prepared. It explains how people, how we are to be living in this day. It tells us and it gives us an explanation what our life is supposed to be about and our life focus should be about. And yes, we have to occupy, we have to work, and we have to do what's necessary to provide for our families. But the Bible says that so was it in the days of Noah. So will it be in the coming of the sons of man. When men were marrying and giving in marriage and didn't realize what was happening until Noah entered the ark. He entered the ark and suddenly they had a revelation. And the Bible tells us that we should not be caught unawares, seeming we are not in darkness. You and I. And you know what the ark is all about, what we should be building, beloved? If anything, if we want to build the ministry, this is what we ought to be building. Remember when the children of Israel, no, listen to me, hold on. Remember when Noah was building the ark, and they finally went in and the rains came, and the ark rose above the water, yes? Yes? I think all of us here would love to have been in that ark rather than in that water, yes? Especially about those of us who can't swim. Would have been a challenging thing to be in the water and you can't swim. And he said the water came and the ark rose. We are to be building the ark, and that ark is Jesus Christ. And when the judgments of the Lord come, we, the children, the people of God, will rise above. Oh, somebody say amen. Rise above the judgments. Rise above the stuff. I know I'm scaring some people. I talk loud. I can't help it. I can't really. You know, there used to be a time when I tried to be cool and smooth. But I can't be that. I'm a plumber. I'm a fighter. And that's what I am. Before I came to the Lord, I was a fighter. A boxer and a martial artist and all that stuff. And when I got saved, he reappropriated what I am. And he made me that in the kingdom. So I fight for him now. So it ain't always going to look pretty or sound nice. Amen. I wish I could be like Ms. Lisa, all pretty and stuff. I don't mean like that now, no. I mean pretty where she, you know, is very nice and makes you feel real good and talks and challenges you, makes you feel real good, and then all of a sudden she slips a knife and gotcha. One Thessalonians. I want you to go 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that that day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. So when they saw, and when they say peace and safety, and then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are what? Not in darkness, so that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Now, you know, I was asking myself, Lord, how do we know when you come? He says we should know, we should see the signs. What signs? And beloved, God, the Holy Spirit put it in my heart. We don't need to look at anything. This is how you know his coming is soon. You look at the church, and the Bible says he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, a glorious church. When you see the church begin to rise and begin to manifest the glory of Jesus Christ, you know his soon return is imminent. When you see the church standing and laying hands on the sick and the sick recovering, when you see him driving out the enemy from every aspect of life, you know he's about to come. Are you hearing me? Now listen. I got so much to say, and I just, let me just go to the end of this thing in Matthew 25, and it talks about those virgins. And it talks about, he says, we just read it. He says, they're foolish and they were wise. Five foolish and five wise. This is the challenge of the foolish virgins. Everything they did was in the context of now. Now, and it tells you that he wanted them to trim their wicks. Now, when you trim your wicks, when you trim the wick of the candle, it keeps it at the proper length and the proper perspective where the flame can burn true. If you don't clean the wicks, it begins to smoke, and the flame no longer burns true. But when you clean the wick, the flame burns bright and true. And he said those who were wise They were not living in the context of now, but they prepared their lamps with the idea that Jesus is not coming today, but he is coming soon. Listen to me. When we clean the lamps, or we don't do what's necessary to prepare for the future, because now everybody tells us in Christianity we are to live our lives and get everything out of our lives now. That's not the case. He wants us to be ready for when he's coming, which means my vision has not just about now, excuse me, but about his return. Excuse me. And so he tells them to clean the lamps. What else does that mean? Wise people have judgment, good judgment. Because of their forward looking and they're looking down the road, they are able to judge their present situation and see what's necessary to do for them to do. Unwise people, the fools, couldn't do it. So what they do is everything, they consume everything now. Their life is about now. Beloved, how many of you know our real lives are not about now? Colossians says to set your heart and affections on things which be above, where your true life is hidden with Christ in God. Who you really are is not what you are right now. And so why should I be giving all of my effort to building this now when I got eternity to call? You need to say amen right there. Because we're wasting and giving all of our time to now when actually this isn't going to matter. It's not going to last. The Bible says the world and this world is going to burn up. We are getting ready for what's coming. Amen. Not just now. Amen. And so that's what you have concerning the fools. I'm going to close right here because I'm getting ready to close. Ezekiel 47, the Bible tells me, y'all read in Ezekiel 47, it talks about the temple, right? Temple's about the temple and the river running out of the temple and being trees on either side of the nation for the either side of the river for the healing of the nation. Ezekiel 47 talks all about that. Talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but it's talking about that is talking about the ministry in you and me. The temple, Ezekiel 47, is about you and me. And I want you to understand, before anything else is said about the river, the first thing you see in the text is that the temple was facing east. Why was the temple facing east? Because it's the eastern sky that Jesus is returning in. And so what the prophet is trying to show you, where the power of God is manifested, like it was in the early church, it's amongst the people who are looking for him to come back. Are you hearing me? And so we asked ourselves, why doesn't God move with power? You ask yourself the question, how badly do you want him to come? I am going to close. Our actions, when we are getting ready and we're looking to him, our actions, they tell a story to everyone around us. Like Noah, they can see your life's preparation and see something is about to happen. You can continually be light when your life is saying to people, you need to get ready just like I am. Our mindset determines what we do. Whatever we give a priority to, it'll be what we do. It'll be how we act. Whatever we give a priority to in our thinking, that'll determine how we function. So, in a relationship, say to speak, at home, I give a priority, and my relationship with Lisa is I cook good meals for her. Listen to me. Because I know she likes good food. So, I have taught myself over the years to cook good food to please her. I made it a priority in my life to do that. If I love him and I want to please him, I'll do what's necessary to make him, whatever pleases him, a priority in my life so that he will always be satisfied. Can I say to you, it's not hard, because I looked at this and I said, Lord, if I'm not careful, I can make this seem like we'll never be good enough. We'll never make it. I'll always be, I can make it. It can seem like that to us, and we can feel like that. But can I encourage you that all it requires of you and me is to fall in love with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then you'll do the stuff that pleases him. But this also means that we'll be open, can I hear somebody, to correction by him. It doesn't mean I do what I want, when I want, and how I want to do it. It just means I'll do the best that I can and keep moving in the best that I can until he corrects me or tells me otherwise. But when correction comes, that means I got to make a change. I'm cooking the food for Lisa, making it all nice and pretty, tasty. And she says, that's good. You know, one of my specialties is meatballs and spaghetti. I make some awesome meatballs, let me tell you. And one day she said to me, Vince, these meatballs are very heavy. She said, these meatballs are very heavy. They're kind of like hockey pucks. Now, I could have took that and been offended by that statement. But my object and my desire is to please her. So I corrected the recipe to fit what she wanted. Didn't I? That's what I'm saying. See, we've got to correct some things in our lives to fit what he wants, not what we want. It's got to be what he wants. Are you hearing what I'm saying, T? Because if we keep doing what we want, when he shows up, we won't be what he wants. It's got to be like that. I can imagine what Miss Lisa would have said if I kept making them meatballs the way I was making them. Sooner or later, she would start pushing the meatballs away. And we would start seeing more meatballs in the pan left over than there were previously. That must be a terrible feeling when I offer something to Jesus and he pushes it back. Because it ain't what he wants from you and me. Not that she would do that. She loves me too much to hurt me. Don't you, Lily? Yeah, I know. Even if my meatballs are bad. Hey, I just got to say this one thing. The Apostle Paul said, I'd rather go and be with the Lord than to remain here. And the only reason why I stay, it is for your sake and benefit. There has got to be something in us that wants him more than anything of this world, than anything that's on this earth. He's got to be the one we want. Amen? Amen. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us, God, to take hold of your word and to become what you want us to become. To get ourselves ready for your return, because your word declares that you are coming soon. And Father, I pray you help us to get ready. Help us to prepare ourselves, Father. Help us to become what you want us to become. Take away, God, all selfish ambition. Take away personal desire and put your heart and your desire in us. God, it's not about me, it's about us. God, you're coming for us, for all of us, your whole family. And I pray you put that in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.